Hey guys, Bionabu presents the MedTech Podcast. If you're intrigued and want to learn more about how technology is changing healthcare, then this podcast is perfect for you. If you want to learn about entrepreneurship and innovation, then stick around. My name's Ash, and welcome to the conversation. Hey guys, welcome back to the MedTech Podcast. Today I'm joined with Dr. Keith Choi, the CEO and founder of MedWise.ai. MedWise is an AI-driven search platform made specifically for healthcare professionals and clinicians. It is the Google for doctors. So if I was to paint a picture for you, imagine you're on a busy ward or you're in a consultation, which you have 10 minutes for and it's already overrun. You have to examine the patient, you have to take history from the patient and make sure that patient's expectations are met and they are leaving the consultation happy. 10 minutes is a very short amount of time and it will go like that. Let's say a patient's come in with asthma exacerbations and you can't remember the exact stepwise approach and how to go about treating this patient. What do you do? Currently, 70% of clinicians are looking up on Google what are the latest guidelines, let's say, for asthma exacerbations. The problem with this is Google isn't meant for clinicians. Google is just made for everyday people to look up everyday questions. So what it will do, it will bring up everyday answers. It won't bring up answers tailored specifically evidence-based guidelines for clinicians. Google brings up 10,000 different web pages and you systematically go top to bottom trying to search for the most relevant piece of information that you can find. And you can't find it because the guidelines are either tailored for a different local trust or for the US or are outdated. You're wasting time. What do you do instead? This is where MedWise.ai comes in. Instead of searching on Google, you can search the exact same question on MedWise, and it will tailor your response for specifically clinicians and healthcare professionals and bring up the most relevant piece of information for your question. So you're not having to waste time Googling it and then going through different web pages systematically. Instead, simply type on MedWise what you're looking for, and its AI-driven platform will bring up what you need. If you want to learn more about MedWise, then definitely stay tuned, listen to this whole episode. And if you enjoy it, hit the thumbs up button. Give the episode a like, rate it, and as always, share with your friends and make sure you hit the follow button on the podcast. It will just help the channel to grow. Thank you guys so much for your support and I hope you enjoy the episode. Really excited to be joined with Dr. Keith Choi. He is the CEO and founder of MedWise.ai. So Keith, it is great to have you. I think we met briefly, I'm not sure if you remember, we met briefly at the MedTech Foundation National Conference, the hackathon they had last year. It was very brief, but I remember you gave a talk there. And now a year later, I've reached out to you and getting you on the podcast, which is great. So just briefly introduce yourself, Keith. Great to meet you.
Yeah, awesome. It's a pleasure to be invited to be on this podcast. So I'm Keith, CEO and co-founder of MedWise.ai. I am a medical doctor by background, trained and practiced in Hong Kong, where I'm from, and got really interested in healthcare innovation because I saw a lot of problems within healthcare and really wanted to develop solutions to solve these challenges for patients, for systems, for clinicians. So decided to go to Cambridge for a master's in bioscience enterprise, like an MBA for healthcare and life sciences, learned a lot, and then was a management consultant delivering productivity savings into NHS trusts across systems, and then joined a digital health company called Huma, which was doing remote patient monitoring, decentralized clinical trials, before it was cool, before the pandemic. After the pandemic, everyone is jumping on the bandwagon. but got a wide range of experience and then decided to start MedWise.ai because I saw the potential of natural language processing AI technology. Back then, there were like transformer-based neural networks and GPT 1.0, 1.5 being launched. Now everyone have heard of ChatGPT. Yeah. I guess we're a bit earlier to the game, but looking to implement these AI in healthcare.
Yeah, great. Really great to have you. And I remember the talk you gave. It was a really inspiring talk. You gave it last year at the hackathon. And forgive me if I'm wrong, but if I'm right, so the initial idea for MedWise AI, did that stem from the hackathon?
So I think the original idea is basically a problem I personally encountered, right? When I was practicing as a medical doctor back in Hong Kong, we have the equivalent of the old junior doctor or foundation year training system. So it's like a year, you do 100-hour shifts like every week. So it's quite intense. So I remember I would be going to hospital for night shifts, and in the middle of the night at 2 a.m., I'll be hungry and tired, haven't had dinner. and we see patients after patients. And then I would struggle to find the information I need, and I would end up just Googling it. So that's the germination of the idea. I think from the MedTech Foundation Hackathon, that is more specifically at the early stage of the pandemic, where the idea was combined together with there's a lot of research, high quality, low quality, just being published, thrown out there on Twitter, on social media, on news. But there isn't a easy way for clinicians to really understand, okay, what's the good evidence? What's the bad evidence? And what should I do with a COVID patient? So that's the marrying both the hackathon idea with the original problem that I had and then building the MelSRI platform.
Sure. And I think as clinicians, as medical students, I think we realize once we get onto the ward and start clinical placement, that Google does become your best friend. So you'll be, when you have zero time, you don't even have time to think for yourself. So you'll just Google like a quick answer. And a lot of times, even though you're trying to Google for a quick answer, it's actually probably, it probably takes longer to find the answer you're looking for rather than if you actually just take a moment, step back, calm down and just think back to what you know. I don't know if I've explained that quite badly, but yeah. So I think MedWise, yeah, it is an amazing solution that you've been working on. And I'm a strong believer as well that to get to the point that you've at in terms of launching MedWise and it now being very successful and you're scaling up fundraising, it is to do with your journey up to this point. So I want to bring you back before we get into what you're doing at MedWise. So you bring you all the way back to your journey. So you initially trained in Hong Kong, right?
Yes.
So how was that transition training in Hong Kong and then moving to the UK?
Yeah, I think I was very fortunate and I was super grateful for like University of Cambridge just giving me an opportunity to really pursue something still related to medicine, but not strictly practicing medicine. Because I think back in Hong Kong, we're definitely even more traditional, more conservative.
Yeah.
If you trade that as a medical student, as a doctor, like we expect you to stay.
Yeah. I'm Indian and they say, I think it's just Asians in general, right? It's very stereotypical. So if you train to be a doctor, then you're going to be a doctor.
You're now a podcast host as well. So that's super cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it was definitely a great experience because I was able to see. So for example, in my class, there were like around 24, 25 in my class, but there's another kind of like medical doctor left and joined that master degree, and it has a lot of people from different backgrounds, from banking, from venture capital, from consulting, from bioscience background. So it really opened my eyes to like what possibilities there are and how cross multidisciplinary team can really bring solutions together and help patients and clinicians. So it was a wonderful experience and I would highly recommend anyone who's interested in bioscience and entrepreneurship to apply to that program.
Sure. And summarizing MedWise in three words, I've heard you say on a YouTube video is Google for doctors, right?
Yeah.
And Google for doctors, that's a huge task. What went through your head initially when you first came up with the idea? Identified that obviously this is a huge problem. Clinicians just don't have an efficient search engine to look up quick answers for problems that they have. So obviously you thought of the idea Google for doctors, but what went through your head initially when you had that idea? How am I going to make this a reality?
Yeah, I think that's a great question because when I first encountered the problem myself, I didn't start with building a search engine. I was thinking of something that is more akin to a Stack Overflow or Reddit, where it's like a forum where clinicians can then share answers. But at the same time, there's a challenge there, which is it's a chicken and egg problem. Like without the people contributing already, like people aren't going to search on there. While if you don't have people searching, they won't be answering questions either. So that was kind of on starter for me. And I was looking at the different technologies available and I thought, I don't think I can build a search. like search is one of the still being solved, an area within tech that's still being solved. And I have got one of the biggest tech players like Google playing in this space. So like, how are you going to compete with Google? That's literally probably impossible. So back then I had the idea, looked at the problem, looked at the solution and decided maybe that's not the right time. So I parked it. And really it's until 3-4 years ago when these new generation of technology, AI technology, like transformer-based neural networks, these large language models being pre-trained and can be used for transfer learning and are surpassing human performance at a lot of different tasks that I really believe now the technology is there to actually not just be the Google for doctors, but actually be better than a Google for doctors. And I think that also ties to ultimately what we're building currently is a search engine or search platform for clinicians. And I would say it's not just for doctors. Actually, we see health professionals like nurse practitioners, pharmacists, loving our product, using our product a lot as well. But ultimately, it is how can we elevate us not being just a search, but moving towards like artificial general intelligence in healthcare. So that's the ultimate vision of the company. But we have to start somewhere, start small, start collecting the data to eventually build up to that.
Yeah, that's really exciting as well, as we've seen, as you mentioned, now ChatGPT being everywhere in the media, whether it's Twitter, LinkedIn, everywhere, everyone's talking about it. It's really cool to talk about. And it just shows that in a couple months, how much in terms of a natural language processing chat box has blown up. So imagine the potential for that for clinicians. And you mentioned the term, I think it was transformer-based neural network. So for the listeners who aren't very techie, or clinicians who don't know anything about programming, coding, or artificial intelligence, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I have to preface that I'm also not technical. I'm a clinician by background. I'm very grateful for my co-founder, Lewis, who is the CTO and co-founder, and he sold his AI company to Facebook, so he knows what he's doing. So for me, maybe that's even better because I can provide a more layman explanation. So transformer-based neural networks is a new kind of architecture where when you look at AI, there are different types of methods where you can train the computer to do a task. And basically, AI task input-output mapping. You provide a certain input, and then the AI would then decide based on different models, based on the training, provide an output. So massive oversimplification, but every AI is essentially input-output mapping. So for example, if you give it a chest x-ray and then the output is, okay, the diagnosis, does it have pneumonia or not, COVID-19 or not, is a mapping exercise. So transformer-based neural networks essentially is a new way to do this mapping. And the difference between transformer-based neural networks and existing deep learning, machine learning technologies is that it has attention and it's especially useful in natural language processing application, because it means that this AI, when reading through text, it can remember, oh, two sentences ago, what words have been there, and then being able to then generate embeddings and generate a lot of super cool things. Now the large language models have been trained in so much text that there are emergent capability that they weren't even trained, for example. So I think it's a completely game-changing transformative architecture that was, I think, invented by Google scientists in 2017. So it's a relatively new technology, but I think a lot of people recognize how significant this is. And I think this is similar to the kind of deep neural network kind of transformation we saw in computer vision around in 2012. And now we see all these computer vision applications everywhere 10 years later, like Tesla has autopilot in San Francisco. You will see Cruise or other kind of like completely self-driving taxis. We didn't even need 10 years. I think like just 4 or 5 years from that invention, we're already seeing ChatGPT having like quite widespread usage. So it's amazing technology to see. And it will only get better and better.
Yeah, I think you honestly, you said at the start of that you were going to explain it in layman's terms, but that was a perfect explanation. I myself don't know much about in terms of deep learning and these neural networks, but you explained it perfectly and I completely understood what you were saying. So I guess that leads me on to the question to ask you. So are you still practicing clinically, and also how much technical knowledge and technical skills do you have?
Yeah, so I am no longer practicing clinically. I have been practice since coming to the UK because there's I need to do a transversion exam, sure. But then
just to make sure you're competent to work in the UK.
Exactly. So I've been kind of very busy with my career moving into healthcare innovation, like never had the time to do that. So one of the things that we did at MetLife is to make sure we still have practicing clinicians in the team. So I'm very grateful to Mehul, my how our clinical lead, who's a practicing GP, and he provides a lot of great clinical input to the product. I'm non-technical. Like, I learned to like C++ in high school, which is like probably pretty hardcore language, computer language. Yeah. But no, I don't code. I think my skills as a CEO have been a bit of everything. To be honest, it's like a jack of all trades type of role. But I think increasingly one of the key skills that is super important is just storytelling and being able to get people to join the company on the mission, be it investors, be it customers, be it advisors, employees, users. So I think that's a key skill for entrepreneurs to have. And the other key skill is to just have a growth and learning mindset, because if you're really building a startup, you should be doing something that no one else has done before. And that just means you will fail. You have to experiment. You have to learn in order to create the successful path for you.
Sure. And I think the foundation of a startup and a company is obviously built on the founder, but then you need to make sure to succeed, you need to have a strong foundation in terms of there's a good dynamic between the founder and his team. And I know you mentioned earlier that you have a co-founder, Lewis. So, and I was looking at Lewis's, just obviously before the episode, I was doing some research background around MedWise, and Lewis is an extensive resume, right? He's like an AI expert. He's, as you said, sold his company to Facebook. So how was it that you found Lewis to begin with? How were you connected with him? And how did you realize that you and Lewis had that dynamic that aligns together to then go on this venture to build MedWise together?
No, absolutely. That's a great question. I think oftentimes a lot of founding teams, they've been friends and buddies for 10 plus years. And those are the teams that like VCs like to back. I personally, I'm just a hustler. I know I need a technical co-founder to make the company successful, because I know if I learn NLP and AI myself and build things, it will probably take like too long and there will be too much competition by then. So for me, it's about like just talking to people, asking for recommendation, going on coffee chats. With Lewis, I actually just cold LinkedIn message them and say, hey, I loved what you built.
Oh, really?
AI, that really admire its journey. We'd love to have a chat. And then I started working together initially to see whether there's a good fit. I think it's don't commit fully yet. Just try to work on a side project and building an MVP together. And if that works well, then you can continue to build the company in a journey. So yeah, I'm very glad that it worked well for me. And I think the pandemic is also a catalyst that made Lewis think about, oh, actually healthcare is a space that can really benefit patients and clinicians, and that there's so much gap in terms of it and solutions. So yeah, I think it's right time, right place.
Yeah. What advice would you give to any young clinicians out there who have their own idea but don't have any, let's say, I don't want to say interested friends, obviously probably the wrong term, but anyone who's interested in founding a company with them, and so they're looking for a co-founder?
Yeah, I think actually, for example, what you were on, like the tech foundation hackathon, those are great place to just meet different people from different background, like maybe more technical, maybe more from bioscience background, but also have a passion to fund companies. And it's also a great opportunity to just work together and see if you're a good fit, having a time box time to do a hackathon together, build something together. I think that's a great way to start. And I will also say that depending on the solution that you want to build, or the problem that you want to solve, you may not need a technical co-founder. So if there are a lot of no-code tools out there, like even just with a Google Sheet or Airtable or Notion, you may be able to build like a concierge MVP, right? And if it works, then you have some initial interest paying customer, you can just raise some funding or get some grants to then hire a developer to help build your software. I think for us, because we know we want to leverage the latest AI technology to really create some game-changing solution in healthcare, we need the technical expertise and a technical co-founder, sure, but it's not always needed.
Yeah, so with MedWise, I remember looking it up last year at the MedTech Hackathon, and it's changed quite a bit since then. How has the platform changed over time, and how is it going to carry on changing going forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the main philosophy of MetaWiser, how we build product, is to be user focused and customer focused. So users are our clinicians. So we now have hundreds of them that are monthly active users. So we have a good understanding of what functionality are being used, what aren't, and we consistently actually take out stuff that isn't being used on the product, and just to make the interface as seamless, as clean as possible for a clinician, because in a 10-minute consultation, speed is very important, and a cleaner interface will enable that. So we continue to learn from clinicians and our customers. I think one of the big change in the past year is we've moved from like one search engine to a search platform where we can work with different customer organizations to launch our search for their clinicians. We can white label it. We can integrate with their local documents. We can integrate with their clinicians' workflow. So I think that, again, is us learning from our customers and users what they see are most beneficial to them. I think in the future, I can give some direction where we're going, but at the same time, it's like we continue to iterate with our customers and users, so it could be different once we learn more as well. But one of the areas that we're seeing is a lot of NHS organizations have challenge in organizing their local documents, guidelines, protocols. Quite messy, is in multiple places. It's difficult to find and use. So we're looking to build more in that area to help organizations better organize their documents, get it disseminated, get it used, and then also from the search data, provide an understanding of what are the gaps in terms of a lot of clinicians searching for a specific condition, but you don't have the local guideline for that. Or a lot of clinicians are searching for a specific drug management or referral, and then maybe there's a need for some training and education events to improve that. So those are some, in the short term, some of the things that we're thinking about. In the longer term, it's about how do we really build data modes, content modes, to allow us to continue to leverage the latest NLP and AI technology to build towards an AGI in healthcare. So right now, search is a passive platform where you have to know what you don't know in order to do a search, but that doesn't cover the things that you don't know you don't know. Ultimately, when we move towards an AGI, it will be like active decision support that can help clinicians, especially like junior clinicians or allied health professionals who are now taking on more responsibilities, to be able to practice at the top of their license, to be practicing at their best and do their best work and be the most productive to provide patient care and also make their work lives more enjoyable as well. So the vision would be of like chatbot that is kind of a super experienced consultant that can always be there and support you. But we're very far from that, but building the foundation for that.
Sure. I want to park that idea because I do want to get back to it in terms of the future vision for creating this, I guess, this all-knowing AI consultant doctor chatbot. I mean, that's the dream, right? But obviously, as you said, we're quite a long way off that. But so you mentioned obviously implementing in the NHS in terms of it, implementing local guidelines in different locations. So from your experience, obviously the NHS is a huge institution with loads of different levels to it, right? And there's lots of politics involved with everyone has their own different agendas. So how has it been from your point of view addressing those barriers in implementing change?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it definitely is different in each NHS organization. We've worked with organizations that have a lot of the kind of infrastructure built in place already and are able to really work with innovators to implement change. But I think overall, it's not an easy process just because of how much pressure the NHS is under, a lot of different priorities, pulling both like frontline clinical staff and more like admin or managerial staff. So I think that we're continuously learning from partnering with these NHS organizations and our customers as well. And I wouldn't say we've cracked this yet. And I think a lot of probably digital health companies haven't cracked it either.
But
I think ultimately it's about relationship, right? It's about people, it's about the trust, and making sure that you build that relationship such that even when things goes wrong, like you you can remedy the situation and put plans in place and have risk management and communication as well is super important. I think we're still on the journey of learning how to implement change effectively in the NHS, but what we're seeing is that there are a lot of good intention, and also, especially after the pandemic, understanding that digital can really help and innovation can really help. It's about trying to align all the other parts in the moving big humongous system to make sure you can actually implement change effectively.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to hear we're at least along the right tracks.
Yeah.
So yeah, initially we had obviously we had scheduled this episode for a couple of weeks ago, but you held off because you said that you were closing a fundraising round. I wanted to ask you, so how has that been in terms of fundraising? Is this your second round of fundraising, and what is the next step?
Yeah, so this is our second round of fundraising. So we've raised a pre-seed round, more than $500,000 in 2021. So we're about to close a first tranche of $1.1 million. We have $600K available until, thank you, $600K of overfunding available until around end of June this year. So if any listeners is an investor, please reach out. But yeah, I think fundraising have been a very, the fundraising environment, especially in the last year or so, have been really tough and challenging just because of the market downturn. So we're very grateful to our investors believing in us, believing in our mission to really empower clinicians, support clinicians to do their best work, help them to be not so burnt out, have better tools to use at the point of care, very for their support. So yeah, the plans for the next 15 to 18 months is to really get the product out there. I think still a lot of clinicians in the NHS have not heard of MetWise. I think
you know what, you'd be surprised actually. I was on placement a couple of weeks ago with some junior doctors, and they were talking about, I didn't even mention it, your company, and they were talking about MetWise. The word is getting out there slowly and surely.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? Yeah. So the word is getting out there slowly and surely. It's just obviously now about scaling. I think you guys are doing all the right things, and you're definitely creating a solution for an unmet need. But yeah, really exciting. So yeah, sorry, carry on. I interrupted you about where you're going to be allocating these funds now into the next 18 months.
Yeah, so we're mainly looking to build our sales marketing capability. Previously, it's just me, and I'm a medical doctor by background, so I just thought I could sales and marketing by background. So yeah, so to really expand and to just get the product into the hands of clinicians, into your organization, so that we can support clinicians. I think the goal is for us to really get the user traction and the revenue traction so that we raise another round in around 24 months to start looking at international expansion to the US, where we believe there's huge opportunity and it is a much bigger market for us as well. And I'm really excited for the next kind of 15 to 18 months.
Sure. And I'm curious because obviously MedWise is a free platform for all clinicians, anyone who's a healthcare professional to use. So you can type now medwise.ai, have a little play around next time you're on the ward and you want to quickly look up the latest guidelines for, I don't know, asthma exacerbations. But obviously it's a free platform. So how is it that you plan on or have been generating revenue?
Yeah, so The MetWise AI platform that you see on the web right now is primarily focused for primary care clinicians, so like GPs or advanced nurse practitioners or kind of pharmacists in primary care would find the platform useful. Our business model is like a B2B SaaS model where we charge healthcare organizations the annual license to provide the additional functionalities like local documents integration, so basically having one search for all the local documents, and then the data insights, we never provide like identifiable data. So it's aggregated, anonymized, as an organization as a whole, while some of search trends or training and education needs trends. And then also looking at to integrate with the clinician's workflow. Can we integrate with EHRs to make the more seamlessly integrated with the clinician's workflow so that it saves a little bit more time? So those are the kind of functionality we provide with a new license.
Sure. Yeah, really exciting things that are happening. And I think now is probably the best time if we were to speculate 10 years into the future And I was to ask you, Keith, what do you see MedWise being used in the hospital? What would you say?
Yeah, I think 10 years is a long time. So I think if we are moving really quickly and the technology allows potentially that kind of AI-powered senior consultant chatbot that can really support clinicians to make better decisions, that would be the end goal and the vision of the company. But I think if you ask me what I want to achieve in 10 years, it doesn't product itself, no matter what form it takes. I think ultimately, we're a mission-driven company that we want to support as many clinicians as possible so that they can do their best work. So if we can, in 10 years, let's say, because right now, for example, 70% of clinicians use Google search to search for information every day to then make decisions for patients. If we can reach a similar level of penetration, let's say 70% of clinicians using MedWise.ai every day to do a search, I think that would be amazing. And obviously, that's not just in the UK, but it's globally, internationally. And I think in 10 years, where we probably will have our biggest impact is actually in developing countries where the clinician to patient ratio is even worse, that the patient population have even worse health conditions. How can we really empower those clinicians to have access to the latest and best information that is also actually localized to their context, like to their resource limited setting, such that we can really support those clinicians in turn taking care of those patients. So I think that's also an area that we're very excited about, how we can bring. Obviously, we need to start somewhere where we can build a business, generate revenue, but ultimately it is about helping as many clinicians as possible to help as many patients as possible.
Yeah, love that. And I think as we're getting to the close of the podcast, you're obviously a huge inspiration for, I think, any clinicians looking to step out of medicine or even work part-time on a side hustle or their own business, but they want to still make an impact in the healthcare sector. So what tips would you give them?
Yeah, I think as a clinician, you actually have learned a lot in terms of not just medical knowledge, but actually the day-to-day, you're the closest to the patient. You have the best understanding of what are the problems in this space. So always be fall in love with a problem and then try to then talk to others. Like, because sometimes you may be very passionate about a problem, but other clinicians may not be as passionate as about that. So just start talking to more people, experiment and learn more and do a side hustle. And I think it's amazing that NHS has, for example, the clinical entrepreneur program where you can have a safe space to actually try these side hustle and side projects. If it doesn't work out, then you still gain great experience, great learning as to what building a startup looks like, what building a product looks like. And if it's successful, then amazing. You can go and do it full time and build a product, bring it to life and impact many more patients as you would as a clinician practicing day in and day out. So I think just keep curious and focus on the problem and apply to NHS clinical entrepreneur.
Sure. And I think the last couple of years have probably been the hardest time for a digital health startup to scale up because of COVID, firstly, and then also just the current climate in terms of it is really difficult to fundraise for a digital health company. You've obviously managed to get through both COVID and the current climate in terms of you've been able to fundraise, as you mentioned. So what are some of the challenges that you've overcome in the last couple of years? And what advice would you give to others in a similar situation?
Yeah, I think depending on the category of digital health solutions, some actually did get quite a boost from the pandemic. I think initially like telemedicine or remote patient monitoring. And then now more recently, I think around the trial solution space where VCs were like, okay, this is hugely inefficient. Why is life science companies spending so much money and so much inefficiency in running clinical trials? For us, we're not being boosted or as dramatically with the other solutions that are like pandemic babies. But overall, I think it's still a good time to start a digital health company because compared to 5 years ago, for example, although the funding have came down, it's still much higher than 5 years ago. I think people have realized that healthcare is a sector that needs digital and needs help. I think in terms of the challenges that I've went through, I would just say it's just a lot of learning. As a first-time founder, I have no idea what the fundraise is. I did a module in Cambridge about fundraising, but it's just a completely different beat when you actually do it yourself. So I think it's, one of the things I quite quickly learned is to be able to fail and just be, I'm happy with a no, actually. If an investor right after a call say, no, you're not the right fit, this is some feedback, although it's usually quite generic and that doesn't really tell you why they don't like you. It is still great because I'm not burning my time. Like the investors that are just ghosting you and then 2 months later say, hey, can you send me more material? And then just continue to do that. That is not like good practice.
It's probably frustrating for you.
Can be quite frustrating sometimes. But I think in general, I would say a lot of investors actually have really good intention. They want digital health companies to succeed. They see a lot of impact that digital health companies can bring. Obviously, their concern is around ROI. Does the company has the potential to meet their fund requirements, etc. So I think for me, the biggest challenge is learning about fundraising because it's quite a insider thing. Like unless you've done it yourself, you don't really understand what's the drivers behind the decision.
Yeah, that's really insightful. And so any healthcare professionals listening to this podcast, or to be honest, just anyone in general listening to the podcast and they love what you said, Google Medwise, not even Google, if you pardon the pun there, if you just type in medwise.ai on search engine, just type it in, it will come up. And just, the platform's live at the moment. And just have a look how valuable it is, what Keith has developed, and how much impact it will have for clinicians who are so busy during consultations. And even saving 30 seconds is huge for both the clinician and also the patient. So Keith, if anyone wants to reach out and get in touch, what's the best way they can?
Yep, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, so feel free to add me on LinkedIn, Dr. Keith Choi. And if you're interested to trial MedWise for your organization, reach out to hello@medwise.ai.
Sure. It's been really great speaking to you, Keith, and really great having you.